when I start working with a particular client, I'm working for them, not for Hubilo.
Welcome to Event Profs Cast, a podcast built for you by Hubilo Technologies. And now, here's your host, Rachel Moore.
Event Profs, how are you? I'm glad to be back with you after another week of events and experiences. And as always, we at Hubilo hope every single thing you set your mind to is a super success. Yet, even when the unexpected happens, we're all here for each other too. I'm your host, Rachel Moore. And there's a reason I started off today with words like experience and success. And that reason is waiting for you behind the curtain we're about to pull back for a big reveal. How exactly someone supporting an event does what they do to make sure your events go off without a hitch. I'll confess, I was pretty clueless about the level of expertise needed for providing support to Hubilo's customers. So our guest is the perfect person to give us the lowdown on how it all works. With that, let me stop talking and let him start in 3, 2, 1. Would you please introduce yourself?
Sure, Rachel. Thank you so much for the introduction and thank you so much for having me here. My name is Pradeep Vishwakarma and my last name is a little bit unique, so I understand that as well. Great. So I've been with Hubilo for around 18 months now, starting from the point when Hubilo started and decided to be into virtual events, phasing out of physical events aspect and moving into virtual events. So I've been through the entire journey. And yes, I manage the entire team for the support for our customer experience team for the US region. So I have around like 8 to 9 CXMs who support our clients on daily basis on during the live events, pre-events. And trust me, the support which we provide to our clients are amazing. And we have a dedicated team to do that. So that's about me.
Well, no, that's great. And so 18 months. So, I mean, I've been with Hubilo since May of 2021. So not quite a year. You've been there, obviously, over half that or, you know, at least twice that. Excuse me. So you are a veteran. So yeah, you were there before the pivot was made to go to strictly being a virtual event platform. Were you working in customer experience at that time or did you transition into that later?
No, I started with customer experience itself. So I was a customer experience manager. I was managing around like 16 to 18 concurrent clients at that time. And then later I sort of moved on into managing the entire team as well.
Those are some big shoes to fill. Because for any of you who are not familiar with Hubilo yet, one of our big differentiators, which just kind of blows my mind, because I mentioned to you offline, we've had Yuvraj Saxena on our podcast as well, who oversees the in-client customer success department. Mm-hmm. But he's mentioned to me, he's like, you know, it's not about a turnaround time. And for those of you wondering, what do you mean by turnaround time, Rachel? It's like, you know, let's say you go on a chatbot on a site because you have a problem and you put a message in there. The turnaround time is how long it takes them to respond to you, right? We actually don't even have a turnaround time at Hubilo, because from what I understand is that we actually have a customer success manager in the event, in the client's event with them. So it's almost like they have a co-producer right there the whole time. There's not a, hey, let me wait and see if they're going to pick up my chat. It's like, nope, hey, you're right here already. Every time I think about it, I'm just like, everybody needs to be doing this kind of service, right? Is it a hard standard to kind of, I mean, it just feels like that just takes such dedication from your team. I mean, how challenging is that to provide that kind of support?
Oh, well, to be very honest, it is challenging, but it's interesting as well. So I have been into the customer support and client management for almost 15 years now. Okay, wow. But what we do in Hubilo, I have never seen that before in my entire career. So for example, if I go back and see how I used to manage my clients and how a particular individual used to be a customer support for their customers was like people used to contact someone. There was someone available to answer their query. And that could be one query, two queries. And that is the end of that journey. But here we are available right from the initial onboarding when we are welcoming our clients to the platform, showing them about all our features, understanding their particular event aspect and requirements, giving them a brief about what we can do, what we cannot do. And from there, on the D-Day, when the event is live, we are available there for them in case if they require any help. That could be through our internal communication channel, which I can set up with my client as per their requirement and availability. For example, in the US, not a lot of people would be using WhatsApp. Most of them would be on Slack. Most of them, this is a new generation. People use Discord, right? So I have Discord on my computer right now, and I am connected with two of my clients who I interact with them on a daily basis. So there could be several such applications which I have on my phone when I can connect with them instantly. I'm talking to you right now. I will have a message with my client. I will simply, without even letting you know, I can type in a message. I'm on a call. I'll get back to you in 2 minutes or in 30 minutes. So that's how it's been very interesting for us. And also doing that helps us, helps a client realize that we are a part of their team. So they can feel comfortable, reach out to us at any point of time, and we are available to help. So that is always as quick as possible.
Yeah, to me, and so I'm going to make another differentiator between the United States and elsewhere. We always have this saying in the United States, you know, going the extra mile. And of course, anywhere else, it's going to be like going the extra kilometer, you know, because, you're taking it farther than, you know, I think we're all used to in just being consumers, especially online. And with tools, with tech tools, because a lot of us have had to use those, and whether we used them before pandemic lockdowns or not, we had to start using those things. And so a lot of us are used to, like, we get used more and more to faster response. But your team, just like you mentioned, I love that you guys say too that you are doing it, you're basing it on where the client feels comfortable. So I am a fan of Discord, by the way. My kids use Discord. But I know it's big in gaming communities. And for anyone listening who's like, what is Discord? I always think of it like gaming Slack. A little bit. Pretty similar, but some different features and stuff. But yeah, and then you talk about the difference between WhatsApp versus, you know, people who want to just use text or Slack or Discord. Or I know people sometimes use Facebook Messenger, for crying out loud, and things like that. But meeting them where they are is a big deal. And you mentioned you've had 15 years of experience in customer success too. But even so, with all that, being at Hublot today, you feel like kind of we're on the forefront of this is how customer experience should be.
Absolutely correct. So as 15 years has passed by and 18 months with Hublot, I believe that I am a part of a system which we have developed here, which is not there in the market right now. So I can definitely go ahead and talk about this a lot in terms of what we can do to improve it more. Yes, that's in the pipeline right now. Me and Yuvraj are working on it. So we'll try and make it better and better.
Nice. No, and you can tell when someone's passionate too about client success is because you're not just showing up to say, yep, I'm just going to answer each question as it comes and then move on. But there's always that forward thinking to say, well, what's on the forefront? You know, I know we hear a lot of stuff about metaverse and things out there of that nature. And you're like, I know Hublot as a platform is always looking to say, well, what's next in technology? What's next that can we anticipate these needs? So it's so cool that you as the team for client success are already thinking of that. I wanted to ask you a little bit today too about so one thing that we a main segment of our audience and our clients and customers that we serve are associations. So for those of you out there, if you're listening or watching, you may be a member of an association or might be a board on an association. You know, and we're thinking like there can be for-profit, nonprofit, they can be business associations, trade, professional associations. I've always been floored too because I've been to some events recently where I met people with associations and they run the spectrum for how many different purposes there are for a gathering or an organization like that. But I understand too, so with Hublot being such a great platform for literally any way to gather people together, you know, for a purpose, I think, you know, you've probably had the opportunity then to help service or help provide support to association clients. Do you find that are they different, kind of unique in what needs they have versus like, you know, a different type of event for a company or a brand? How are they different?
Well, definitely. I've worked with a few of the association clients which we have directly with them to help them create an event. My team has worked with a lot of association events and clients. So I have a pretty fair idea about what exactly these association does and how the event is different from what we do generally in terms of the platform. The best thing about the Hublot platform is that the features or the modules which we have on the platform that can be very well changed or like used in a different way for different events we kind of do on the platform. For example, we have a trade show happening. We have the virtual booth option when the booth can be used by the sponsors, exhibitors to display their product and services. For certain group of other clients which we have, they can use the same feature to create a knowledge base wherein they can have different booths created with different contents they would like to kind of have people access to. Similar thing with association events. What I've seen is that association events always require a lot of engagement between the audience because they're trying to establish a good reach, invite few members to be a part of the association. So content is really important.
Deep breaths, because you, my dear event prof, have earned it, which is why your free invitation to an event of wonder and delight is packaged up nicely right here within this podcast episode. Pull on that ribbon and visit the possible. Join us free on March 30th for MIX, Mastering Immersive Experiences with Hubalo. Go to www.hubalo.com/MIX22 to register free and join thousands of others for an experience like no other. That's hubalo.com/MIX22 and follow our hashtag, see you at MIX. That is such, you bring up some great points there too. I want to kind of come back to one you said about, and I feel like, you know, especially because this show is very much for event professionals out there and we're all designing events and, you know, of course we want our attendees to engage, you know, we want them to show up and not just sit back or, you know, I've got three screens right now on my desk. You know how we can tend to like put something up on one screen. We might even navigate away from it or we're not looking at it, not really truly diving into what's happening. Which all of us want. But, you know, you brought up how there's a little bit different aspect of that for an association. And I do think about that because even if it's a nonprofit, but there are for-profit associations, a lot of these members pay dues or pay a membership fee to be a part of that so that they have access to all the benefits of being in this association, this gathering, this organization for a singular purpose. So it does seem like there's a little bit more weight for when that virtual event is happening, that you do want those members to feel like I'm engaging and I feel engaged with, I'm getting my money's worth out of the fact that I'm part of this organization and I'm a member versus an attendee. That really made me think just now what you said about just thinking, you know, Hubalo puts on events all the time and a lot of our stuff is free. There are events out there absolutely that have a paid admission. When you have that exchange, there's going to be more expectation, right? You should be able to deliver more. And you're talking about how Hubalo's like basically customizing that setup really lets that association deliver on that promise, deliver on that experience for their members, right? I mean, it sounds like we can kind of set up whatever people need.
Absolutely. So basically, association event is also into fundraising. I'm talking about the nonprofit ones here. So a fundraising is always important to support their cause. So having an event which is not an open event this time, probably it's a paid event, so they can go ahead and use our registration and ticketing model, which we have, and have ticket-based event. So if, let's take an example, it's a nonprofit organization doing an event on Hubalo platform, and they do not want to do ticketing for the event because they want to have as many people as possible join their event. But once the event is over, the content library, that can be made available you with the kind of a subscription fee. So not everyone would be able to access that, but a certain group of people can do that. So Hubalo provides that functionality to create groups and provide access or limit access.
That's so smart. And I mean, any marketer who's listening to this is probably like, yes, you can always reuse that content and make it available. But you're talking about even having different tiers of that access for later so that people can go back and, you know, you can let it expire after certain dates. So it's kind of more an on-demand, but like, you know, don't miss it kind of thing. I have a question for you too. So one thing I think about when I think of associations too is, they probably work with sponsors and partners. Mm-hmm. And some of them might rely a lot on that. And so I'd love to learn from you, like, what's your experience with helping to support an association where they have an event, they've got members attending, but they also have sponsors and partners who are showing up and they want to get as much out of that event as the members do. But how does that work when you guys are supporting that an association event for giving that attention to sponsors and partners?
Well, to be very honest, for us, as I said, when I start working with a particular client, I'm working for them, not for Hubilo. That is my primary objective. If in case they are successful, in turn, I am successful. So in case if they require my help in terms of explaining the exhibitors or the sponsors who are going to be integral part of that event on the D-Day, yes, I would love to chat with them, love to connect with them, understand what they are trying to get out of this particular event. And accordingly, help them understand what kind of module we have built up for them, how they can leverage a certain module in a different way rather going a traditional route. So yes, connecting with exhibitors and sponsors is something which we always welcome. We go on to call, we explain them the process. If in case they require help, as we help our clients, we can help them as well. So yeah, that's something is possible.
I love you mentioned that. I've heard Yuvraj again, who's he oversees all the customer success, but he has said that too. He's like, our CSMs don't really think of themselves as working for Hubilo, though they do. They're working for the client. And I mean, that just says it right there, that there's such an investment, like you said, there's a personal care level there, and really becoming entrenched with that client. So that they don't feel like, because I'm sure, and you probably, any human being who's had to reach out to any kind of vendor, and yet again, for like the 13th time, because you're talking to someone different, and you're like, okay, here's the situation again. I've told the person I talked to last time, but somehow nobody seems to know what's going on. You're not dealing with that with Hubilo. You're dealing with someone who's like, no, I have known this. I've been part of this journey with you since we started planning your event. So everything's familiar, which I would imagine that right there just saves a ton of time of just working with that client, right? Because you don't have to try to rebuild that rapport all over again.
Absolutely. So a lot of our clients at the moment, so like we have worked with a segment when like a client has come to Hubilo only for one event. Okay. But right. Later on, when they come back to Hubilo, I have my personal experience, the clients have specifically mentioned the CSM's name that we want to work with that person again, which I haven't seen before in my previous organizations because no one remembers your name. Here, the entire journey happened 2 months down the line. The person started with that particular client, 2 months of training and understanding, a lot of queries and answering all the questions and the D-Day delivering it and getting a lot of good feedback. When the client comes back after 6 months, they remember that person and they would want to work with him. So that is one thing. Yeah. And for our subscription-based clients, that one particular CSM is designated to them. And that person will be helping that particular client in the next event as well. So the very first event which we do, I take personal care of the very first interaction which I have with my client. Because the first experience is what builds up the relationship, builds up that trust. After the first event, the second event, I don't even have to kind of check with them what kind of event they're doing. Because I already know what they do. And probably the comfort level which we share with our clients after that, they can reach out to us anytime, ask a simple question, and they can build up the event or the community by themselves. We'll just be there to support them. So that's how the first impression works within the CX team which I run right now here.
You know, words we always hear when we talk to someone about customer or client support are trust, relationship, and personal. Because that's what it's all about, right? If we aren't connecting as humans with humans, what are we all here for? We'll continue this philosophical and tactical discussion with Pradeep on the next episode of the pod. You'll want to get your notepad out for that one. Oh, and hit follow and add this podcast to your favorite app so you can get every new episode drop. If you're digging what you're hearing, leave us a review on your podcast app. And you can find Hubilo everywhere on social media at Hubilo, Hubilo Connect on Twitter, and just look for our hashtag Hubilove. That's Hubilo VE. And of course, our website, www.hubilo.com. See you next time, folks.
Event Profs Cast is brought to you by Hubilo Technologies. Thank you for listening. You can visit us online at www.hubilo.com.